Good evening, Michael Cohen, producer Jesse Wiza. The day before the big 4th of July holiday. Traffic looks pretty good. Westbound 96, just east of Fowlerville, there's a bit of a backup there, but looks like other than that, it is all green out there. On today's program, it's called The Hit. It's the health insurance tax. It's part of the Supreme Court-approved healthcare law, and small businesses say that they're the ones that will be taking the brunt of it. We will find out why, and you've probably heard about MSU's facility for rare isotope beams. It's set to be completed in 2019, but do you have any idea what they'll be doing in there? I'll try to get a clear understanding of that from the FRIBS project manager. But first, between the Supreme Court's reaffirming its two-year-old Citizen United ruling last week and a recent Detroit Free Press report that 22 lame duck lawmakers here in Lansing have raised over $500,000 in 2011, that's from holding over 40 fundraisers. You can't help but wonder what it all means to our political system here in Michigan. To get some perspective, I'm joined by Rich Robinson. He's the executive director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. Rich, thank you very much for joining us here on WILS.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
I can't help but ask you, I mean, how does the Campaign Finance Network get its own financing?
Well, we get a substantial grant from the Joyce Foundation in Chicago that is largely concerned with environmental issues, but has a small portfolio on money and politics in different states around the Midwest. And we get the balance of our money from contributions from individuals in Michigan.
So tell me, when it comes to the financing of campaigns, is there any underlying partisan difference? Is one party in Michigan consistently receiving higher levels of campaign contributions over the other?
Well, generally what happens is that the party in majority is most successful raising money. So you had a brief period when the Democrats had the majority in the state house. Their one PAC raised more money than the Republicans' PAC during that time. Their leadership PACs raised more money than Republican leadership. Now that the Republicans are back in the majority, they're having the greater success raising money. So It's really a matter of who can do something for me is who attracts the donors.
I want to ask you about this report that these lame duck lawmakers say they're saying the money they're raising, or they did raise in 2011, over $500,000, was going to aid other lawmakers in their party. Is there anything particularly wrong with this kind of approach to raising money when you're not running for re-election?
Well, in general, people should be raising money for their own campaign committees. The contrast in this is judicial candidates the day after election have to zero out and close down their candidate committees. That'd be a good model for these lame duck legislators. They can invent reasons for taking money from the interest groups forever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly...
Are you able to track, the head of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network, what happens with this money since it's not being used for another campaign?
Well, they do report how they spend their money, but, you know, you notice the Free Press story was on money raised in 2011 because we haven't had a campaign finance report from any of the office holders yet in 2012. They filed a report at the end of January that was for the calendar year of 2011, and here we are halfway through the year, and we don't know what anybody's raising right now. And it is important because it's related to the policy agenda in Lansing.
I'm talking to Rich Robinson, the executive director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. So, Rich, the Supreme Court last week ruled on this Montana state campaign financing law, saying that corporations should not be limited and how much they spend on political campaigns. It reaffirms their Citizens United ruling over 2 years ago. Is there any real evidence right now, though, that the additional money in the system is changing the political game, even here in Michigan?
What's happening in Michigan is really not so much a function of Citizens United. We've had, for more than a decade, half the money off the books in our Supreme Court campaigns, in more recent elections, the Attorney General, Secretary of State, the gubernatorial general election, over half the money spent buys advertising that's not reported. So that's not related to Citizens United. What we're seeing right now in the way of presidential advertising, the day after the presidential primary election, a series of nonprofits started an ad campaign, essentially taking knocks at various policies of the Obama administration. The cap on that for the last month, from late May through late June, was Crossroads GPS. And they were doing ads about lost faith in Obama and the national debt and so forth. But they're not saying vote against Obama or vote for Mitt Romney. They're talking about policies. And really, this was opened up by an earlier Supreme Court decision, Wisconsin Right to Life against the Federal Election Commission, which allowed corporations to start spending money on quote-unquote issue ads.
Now, so are you saying the Citizens United ruling has not really had any significant impact, at least so far here in Michigan, then?
I really don't think it has. I think the genie was let out of the bottle a couple of years before the Citizens United decision.
And in terms of money, though, have we not seen an influx of money since that ruling?
Well, I think the culture has changed. You know, if you go back to 2004, the George Bush re-election campaign against John Kerry and the 527 committee started out, prominent among them, Swift Belt Veterans for Truth. There was an awful lot of money in play that year. But at that point, it was all accountable. It was all from persons. Those 527 committees reported who all their donors were. The difference we have today is the spenders are nonprofit corporations that will never reveal who their donors are. So there's much less accountability. There may not be a whole lot more money. It may be marginally greater. But what the real change has been the lack of accountability.
Right. Okay. So you're saying the amount of money is not a factor, but in terms of figuring out who's funding these ads, I mean, is there any clear accountability when it comes to the substance of the ads? I mean, even though we don't know who's putting them together, are they still required in some ways to make sure they're truthful?
Well, no, they're not required to be truthful, and there's a lot of dissembling in political advertising. You know, you start with a grain of truth, and you twist it, and you stretch it to the point where it's barely recognizable as truth, and that makes a perfect political ad. You know, it would be hard to get away with a 100% lie if people object, and people can object to the broadcasters if they feel they have evidence of a falsehood in a political ad. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's shading the truth. It's dissembling about what goes on. That's the method of political advertising.
Is it fair to say, then, that since the Citizens United ruling, we basically have a system that is just more straightforward? Big money always has set the agenda in politics, but now they can just do it in a more efficient manner?
Well, I think what they can do is in a more secretive manner. That's what we're really seeing. You know, I mentioned this series of nonprofit groups advertising since the presidential primary election in Michigan. There's been $6.5 million spent on these various nonprofit groups, and we don't know who any of the donors are. That's a lot of unaccountable speech.
Right. Well, not only that, but the groups by name, it's as confusing as can be. I mean, you can't really tell what group is supporting what. Every group appears to be a freedom group of some sort or a citizens group of some sort.
Citizens for God and Country, right?
So where are we heading with this? I mean, what is your vision into the future when it comes to this kind of financing and the way that we don't know who's actually funding these groups, when the Supreme Court ruling just last week, in a sense, kind of confirmed that at least when it comes to the money aspect of it, they feel there should be no limit. Is there any sense that they'll be demanding any kind of idea of who's behind these ads?
Well, that's actually the more favorable part of the Citizens United decision. Is part four of that decision Citizens United, which is a nonprofit corporation, made the case that they shouldn't be required to report who their donors are. And in an 8-1 vote, the court decided that it was permissible for a legislature or the Congress or in an initiative state like Michigan, the people can demand accountability for who's putting the money into politics. But people are flailing away right now in a kind of an aimless way and aren't demanding that kind of accountability from these elected officials. And I'm afraid what it's really going to take is a coalescing around those issues, knock a few office holders out of office who don't believe in accountability for the money in politics, and maybe that way will get somebody's attention.
Right. Have we even seen legislation even proposed by anybody in the state legislature to pursue this this idea of demanding who's behind these ads?
Well, some Democrats have gotten bills ordered, but there's no reason for the Republicans who disagree with them to even give them a committee hearing on their bills, much less a vote. So, yeah, bills have been introduced, but they don't have any traction. And, and it's not altogether certain that the Democrats aren't playing an outsider's game. Once they have a majority again, it'll be more interesting to see how assertive they are about demanding accountability, because frankly, the funders for the Democratic Party are no more interested in accountability than those who support the Republicans.
Rich Robinson, Executive Director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. Rich, thank you so much for joining us on WILS.
Thanks, Mike.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the HIT. It's a tax that's going to be levied on the insurance companies, but the group that's most upset about it, at least right now, are small businesses. We'll find out why. That is next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.